And with that, we're going to get into our message today. So hopefully I don't go as long as I did yet last time. Now y'all see why I split the 2 weeks up, right? Because I was going to do these two segments in 1 week and then it didn't work. So hopefully we'll get through it today. Sean said we're going to be done really fast because we only have one thing on here. Just one little bit of scripture. Sean, that's for you, bro. We're going to be out of here quick. No, I'm just kidding. During the second week, well, during the first week we did on Wednesday morning, the Bible study, and they're like, listen, I need more paper. There's not enough places to write stuff on here. And when I see everybody's notes, there's a little writing here and a little writing here and a little thing in the corner and everybody's squinting to read it. And so I said, you know what? I'm going to let them write their own stuff. Because how many of you know, God gives you some important things that he's not going to give somebody else. He's going to give somebody else something that he's not going to give to you. And so to have it all down there where you can write it in where you want, it's perfect. If you get to the end and you say, I didn't get everything, I have a phone. And you're welcome to get in touch with me, man. And we could talk about it and I could send or I could text it to you or however you want to do it. So don't worry about all that. Just do what you can do. And if you miss something, come back. I don't know how many times people online have said, listen, I missed number two. I don't know what number two is. I'm like, oh, okay, let me look it up. Here's number two. And I give it to you quick. How many of you know I still have it? And I hope that you guys still have it. But if not, we can do it. We can fix it. So we're going to get into the message, covenant, week number 3, talking about the Adamic covenant. And remember, I'm going to do hopefully a short, brief as I can. And y'all know me, review. Remember, covenant is, and what I believe the covenants are, it just shows the power of God's unbreakable love for us. Because no matter how many times we mess something up, he still fixes it. Right? He still fixes it. Covenant is defined usually a formal, solemn, and binding agreement, a written agreement, or a promise, usually under seal, between two or more parties, especially for the performance of an action. How many of you know there's some if-thens in the Word of God? And I've been giving my dad credit for it, but my dad said, no, that came from your mom, and I stole it. So, Mom, thank you. We appreciate the if-thens in the Bible, right? I'm going to give her some credit there. And number two on that one little subject is a common law action to recover damages for a breach of a contract. So what we find out is that a covenant, you can have a contract without having a covenant. Covenant instills relationship in it. When a contract is just two people saying, I'm going to do something. How many of you know relationship, you'll do way more than you ever would for somebody that you don't have a relationship with, right? One of the things that I say, and not all the time, but I say it on certain things, sometimes relationship trumps rules any day, right? So my rule is I don't do this, but if a friend needs something and it includes that, as long as it's not sin, y'all with me? I'll do it. If we got a 5-year-old that's not learning anything in the sprouts and they're going to do better in the kids' church, I'm going to send them to the kids' church. We got a 6-year-old that should be in the kids' church, but they're causing more problems than they are and they would do better in the toddler sprouts church, I'm going to put a 6-year-old in the sprouts. You guys feel me? That's how it works. There's rules. There's things that we set out, but there's always a relationship that might change it a little bit. God changes things a little bit for you and for me. We're going to talk about that today. 8 covenants in the scripture, the Edenic covenant, and remember the key word for that was rule. The Adamic covenant, which is redemption, which we're going to talk about today. The Abrahamic covenant, which is restore. The Mosaic covenant, which is reveal. The Palestinian covenant, which is return. The Davidic covenant, which is reign, as in rule and reign. And then the new covenant, which is relationship or regeneration. And if you don't have those, you can go back and listen to the last 2 weeks or come and see me again. Remember, there are two types of covenant. Unilateral is one-sided. Bilateral is two-sided. Another way to do that is that a unilateral is unconditional. Usually God does something for us and says, I'm doing this regardless of whether you're worthy for it or not. Like sending his son, right? He sent his son to die so that everyone could reap the benefit of it. How many of you know not everyone reaps the benefit of it, according to scripture? And I found another scripture, and I can't remember where it's at right now. It's kind of hard to find something if you don't remember where it's at. But I found it, and I'm going to bring it back to you in another day. And it says that most would come to him. Anyway, then a bilateral covenant is conditional, which is the if then. If you do this, then I will do this. So We have, last week, we talked about the Edenic covenant, and that was a bilateral. He said, I'm going to do this. You're going to be in charge. You're going to rule. You're going to reign. Everything is going to be under your control, and it's going to be easy for you. The ground's going to produce fruit, and everything's going to happen. You don't have to water nothing. The dew comes up from the ground. It gives it just the right amount of water. The temperature is like, I don't know, I'm going to pick a number, like 72 degrees year-round, like it's always beautiful. And then he looked at it and said, this is good. How many know this is good? How many like it when it's good? And then Adam and Eve did the one thing he says don't do. How many of you know, again, going back, we focus on what we don't have and what we can't do, more so than what we have and what we can do. You ask people about Christianity. What is Christianity? Well, you got to follow 10 rules. Look, there's a lot more than 10, y'all. I'm just going to be real. The 10 are to show you can't do it, right? That's what it is. The 10, the law is there to be our schoolmaster, Scripture says, right? And so, but what do people focus on? If you're going to be a Christian, you got to give up all this stuff. They don't even mention what comes, the blessing that's a part of your life, the relationship that you have, not only with God, but with other people that are like-minded, that are going to encourage you and lift you up and help you. And wow, there's so many blessings that are in the Word of God. And it all starts with Jesus. Without Jesus, none of the blessings come to you. Just going to be real. Just going to be real. Without Jesus, none of the blessings come to you. So we're going to get into that. And the reason why there had to be a second covenant is because man broke the first one. Again, covenants can be broken, but I promise you, as we talked about in the first week, that a covenant is binding, that God will never break the covenant. He will not break the covenant. If he said it, he will do it. But he does have some conditional things that say, if you do this, I love what you said just a minute ago. See, people get mad at the preacher when they say that, but when it's not the preacher that's up here talking about money, they don't get near as mad, so you're okay. That's how it works. That's how it works. I'm just saying, man. I'm just saying. I'm not saying they don't get mad. I'm just saying they don't get as mad. But one of the things that it says at the beginning of that, it says if you don't, you're cursed because you rob God. And then it says you're blessed if you do what I ask you to do, obedience. But do you know what everybody wants to hang on to? I'm blessed. And they skip the curse part altogether. They read, would a man rob God? How do we do it? Bring tithes and offerings into the storehouse. They don't even go before that one. How many of you know you got to do the whole gospel of God? The whole word of God. And when you put it all together, it makes so much more sense. And it's a lot more demanding. Just going to be honest. There's a lot more that we need to do. Not for salvation, but to live a blessed life. To live a life of freedom. How many of you know you can go back to bondage if you want to? He doesn't stop you if you choose to go back. That's one of the things that we were talking about when we were camping the other day, man. I don't do certain things in my life, and some people are like, it's totally okay to do those things. I'm not going to tell you what they are, because then somebody will be like, whew, I can do it. No, I'm not going to do that. There are some things that I got rid of, and I prayed, God, take away from me, take away from me, take away from me. I cried and pled and said, God, take it. And he took it. So for me to pick it up right now, I'll be slapping him in the face. It's a sin for me. It is a sin for me. What is sin in the definition of sin in the Word of God is to know right and not do it. I know it's bad for me. I know it's wrong. I pray God take it from me, and he did. So for me to do it now, it's a sin. But for me to tell you it's a sin, I like the Dr. Pepper thing that you told me about. He said there was a preacher, went to his doctor, and he was drinking like 2 liters of Dr. Pepper a day, and the doctor said, it's going to kill you if you don't stop drinking. So he got in his pulpit, and he's like, Dr. Pepper's a sin. Don't drink Dr. Pepper. Well, hold on a minute, man. Ain't none of us have a problem with Dr. Pepper. It's you, right? It was God. Oh, he said God convicted him of it. So then he said, hey, Dr. Pepper's a sin for everyone. How many of you know Dr. Pepper's not a sin? You know, there's things that God made, and he made them for this earth, and he made them for a certain purpose, but it's when we take it and use it for a different purpose than what was intended, and it harms our lives. That's when it's an issue. I was on morphine for 5 days when I was in a hospital for a wreck, 1998. Ran head on a track trailer, flipped my truck 5 times, was in the hospital. They had me on morphine. It helped me then. I don't need it now. Do you know it's a sin for me to go get morphine right now and just put it in me so I can have it because I like how it makes me feel? You know it's wrong? I can use these things in a proper manner and them not be wrong. But it's when I take things and use them in a wrong manner that there becomes an issue. This is what ends up happening. He says, I'm going to say that. I said all that to say this. It wasn't the fruit that they ate that was wrong. It was the fact that God said, don't eat it. It was the fact that he said, stay away from it. That was the problem with them eating the fruit. Rob and I have decided, and I think Mr. Jeff is in agreement with us, that it had to be a papaya because them things are nasty. I hope when they ate that fruit, they're like, ugh, this is disgusting. I see why you didn't want me to eat it, right? I don't think that happened, but that's, y'all know. Y'all know me. Okay, let's regroup for a second. The reason why people combine the Edenic covenant and the Adamic covenant is because the Adamic covenant only exists because the Edenic covenant was broken. And God said, I love you and I'm still going to make a way. Even though you messed up, I'm still going to make a way. How many of you are thankful for that this morning? How many are thankful for that? So I'm going to read some scripture. We're going to go through some verses. I'm going to start in Genesis chapter 3, verses 14. Sean, here you go. Here it is, bro, right there. The Lord God said to the serpent, because you have done this, cursed are you above all the livestock, above all the beasts of the field. On your belly you shall go, and the dust you shall eat all of the days of your life. I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring, and he shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. To the woman he said, I will surely multiply your pain in childbearing. In pain you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be contrary to your husband, but he shall rule over you. And to Adam he said, because you have listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten of the tree of the fruit which I commanded you, you shall not eat it. Cursed is the ground because of you. In pain you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles shall bring forth, it shall bring forth to you. You shall eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread until you return to the ground. For out of it you were taken, for you are dust, and to dust you shall return. The man called his wife's name Eve because she was the mother of all living. And the Lord God made Adam and for his wife garments of skins and clothed them. Then the Lord God said, behold, the man has become like one of us, knowing good and evil. Now let each reach out of his hand. No, excuse me. Lest he reach out his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore, the Lord God sent him out of the Garden of Eden to work the ground from which he was taken. He drove out the man, and at the east of the Garden of Eden, he placed a cherubim, a flaming sword that turned every way to guard the way to the tree of life. So we read all of that. Now, what does all that mean? I know that was a lot of reading, and I'm not the best reader, so it's okay. But you guys understood all the stuff I said, right? We're going to go through it now. And the first thing, how many of you know, one of the things that my mom, I'm giving mom a lot of credit today. One of the things my mom shared with me a while back, and it's such a true statement, you can choose your sin, but you can't choose your consequence. You can choose to do these things, but you don't get to choose what the consequence is that comes to it. Sometimes in the scripture, he tells us, and then sometimes it's just don't do this, right? You'll be blessed. You'll be cursed. Doesn't tell you what the blessing is. It'd be really easy if the Bible said, if you bring your tithes and offerings into the storehouse, I'm going to give you $1,000 a week. Everybody would be like, what? Sign me up. Here's my tithes and offerings. You'd be like my brother. When my brother was a kid and they were teaching about tithes and offerings, he earned a dollar, so he gave 10 cents for his tithe because they were teaching about tithe. And then he got a $10 bill that week somehow, and he was ready to put the whole $10 in next Sunday. Sunday, God, here's my $10. Go ahead and multiply it, right? It would be easy if that was the formula. But how many of you know there's not a formula like that? He says, if you're obedient, there's a blessing that will come. What does that blessing look like? As Aaron said, all different types of blessing. It's not exactly just the same. Do you know what? The same is opposite of that. The curse that comes. You can't say, like, well, I'm going to have a week of bad business. It doesn't say that. It's open-ended. There's all kinds of things that could happen. right? So why do we play with it? Why do we play with it? Right? It's like hard-headed. Do you know what it turns out to be? It turns out to be that we want to be in charge, and we don't want to relinquish it to God. That's what it turns out being. I want to control what happens with me, and I will give you most of it. That's why I remember that buzzer. I wish you had it in the pocket when we sang, when we lied. I wish that their pants actually caught on fire or something. You know, changed song service dramatically, right? We said, "I surrender all," and pants would go, phew, it'd be horrible, right? We'd have to change it to "I surrender some," right? And then we could sing it. It's one of those things. That's what happens. But what happens is they didn't get to choose the consequences of it. He just said, death will come. Now, I'm going to ask you guys a trick question, and then I'm going to ask you another trick question in a minute. When is the first recorded death in the Bible? Who? Cain and Abel? Well, it says when you eat of the fruit, you'll die. A spiritual death came to Eve. See, trick question, I told you. Spiritual death came. Now I'm going to ask you another trick question later. Get ready. This is the consequences that they are going to walk in now. And he first started with the serpent. How many of you know everybody in? Just because you didn't instigate and you weren't the main person in it, if you're a part of it, don't mean you don't get consequences. Right? The serpent, God starts with him in verse 14. He said, "The Lord God said to the serpent, 'Because you have done this, cursed are you above all the livestock, above all the beasts of the field. On your belly you shall go, and dust you shall eat all the days of your life.'" So, what does that tell us? That at this point, apparently, the serpent had legs, whether two, whether four, and he walked around. He could climb, right? There was things that he could do. I know snakes can still climb, they're on their bellies, but this is the point where it says you are on your belly the rest of your days because of what you've done. The curse came to him. Then the second thing came to him. Number two, enmity between the serpent and the woman. How many of you know most ladies don't like snakes? My wife is deathly afraid of snakes. My wife will run away from a baby snake, even if you know it's the right kind of baby snake. We were walking down the street here, and there's one of those little ringneck, those little black ringnecks. They ain't no bigger than a pencil, about not even bigger around as my, like skinnier than my finger. And it was in the sidewalk, and it was about 3 inches long. You're like, "Oh, a snake," and ran away. I'm like, "Baby, that thing couldn't even bite your little toe, you know? What kind of damage that thing gonna do to you?" Like, "But it's a snake," right? There's a lot of fear that goes between man and snake. Snakes are one of the most feared animals on the earth. They can also be one of the most dangerous animals on the earth. One small bite. And you know what? The babies are worse than the adults. Did y'all know that? Because they can't control the amount of venom that they put out. So when they put it out, they just put it all out. So stay away from baby snakes. Do you know what? I like the black ones. They kill rats. They kill poisonous snakes. I got a big, like a 6-foot black snake lives around my house. I'm like, "Go, Blackie, go. Get him." My wife's like, "No, don't tell him that." I'm like, "Well, I don't want the rest of that stuff. So you just curl up underneath the house. Stay out of her way." Right? It's one of those things, enmity. There is a struggle, a hatred between the two that comes because he was used to bring about the first sin. The next thing, and it says that in verse 15, it says, "I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." So it also, number three, puts enmity between the serpent and her offspring. Do you notice it doesn't say Adam's offspring? It says her offspring. Y'all, remember that. I'm going to tell you to remember some stuff, and then hopefully I'll remember it later to tell you why. Remember that, right? Enmity between the serpent and her offspring. Verse 4, when we get to this point, number 4 in your notes is, he will crush your head, and you shall bruise his heel. This is the first time that we see God's plan of Jesus. The first time in the scripture. We say, "Well, it just came to him as he was going through it." No, from the foundation of the earth, he knew you, He knew your issues. He knew the problems that you were going to go through. He knew everything about you. He knew everything about the earth. Why does that? Because God is not in our time. We're three-dimensional. This gets weird for some people when you start talking about dimensions. We're three-dimensional. There's many more dimensions than that. The heavens. If where would the heavens be? It would be down here with us. We'd be able to see it. We'd be able to be a part of it. Right now, we can't. That's a whole nother ball game. It gets way into deep stuff. But God does not live by our time restraints. He knows the beginning. He knows the end. He's already seen it all. Now, that's where a lot of people get caught up into the predestination factor of things, that God is like created it all and now he's sitting back watching a movie. That's my thought process. And I mean, again, everybody's different, but what I see when I see people say predestination, he already chose some and he didn't choose others. And now I know he already knows what I'm going to pick. Same way if I put ice cream or broccoli in front of my kids, or let's change it. If I put ice cream and salad in front of my kids, I know one kid every time going to pick ice cream. Every time. I know one kid every time going to pick a salad because she loves salad. She's a little salad eater. I know that about my kids. So when the choices are put in front of them, I already know. Like, where y'all want to go for dinner? I know one of them's going to say here and one of them's going to say here. Every single time. Y'all with me? It is the same way with God. He knows us. He knows our heart. He knows our thoughts. He knows us. He knows what we're going to pick. He knows what we're going to choose. But he still gives us a choice. He still gives us a choice. This is one of those scriptures in the Bible that shows us he already had a plan of redemption at the moment, actually before they messed it up, because he knew they were going to mess it up. How many of you know your kids are going to do some dumb stuff? let's don't blame it on the kids. We're being harsh on our kids this morning. How many know you're going to do some dumb stuff? Some of y'all raise your hand. Someone like, I don't want to answer that. It's okay. Yeah, a lot of dumb stuff. You and me both, brother. So it's one of those things here. This is where he first shows the fact that Jesus is going to have some pain. He's going to hang on the cross. He's going to suffer. He's going to be tormented. But according to what God says, that amount is but just a bruise on the heel from what the serpent is going to receive, what the enemy is going to receive. A bruise goes away. A bruise goes away. If I crush somebody's head, their head pretty much stay crushed. It's not like one of those dolls. You smush it down and it comes right back up. It's not one of those things, right? That's what he says. He said, because of this, this is going to be your end. And then he swaps to the woman. Ladies, are you ready? Don't worry, guys. We're going to get to you in a minute. Some of the ladies are like, I don't know. The first thing that it says is that there will be, number five, it will be pain in childbirth. All the ladies said, thanks, Eve. There you go. Appreciate you. Isn't it like it that one person ruins it for everybody? Sometimes it happens. Aren't you glad that God fixes it for everybody? Pain and childbirth. Verse 16, it says, to the woman, he said, I will surely multiply your pain and childbirth. So that doesn't mean that she didn't have pain to start with, but that it's multiplied. You know what? It's funny. Some of the doctors, and I didn't do it to me, but I watched some people. Some of the classes, like the Lamaze classes and the different classes that they do, they try to show the husband what pain would be like during childbirth with the electrodes. Have y'all seen that? So they put them on him and they're like, here's a low-level one, and they do it, and the dudes buckle. They're like, ugh! And then when they go up to like number three, the guys are crying like, please stop, please. Why? And like, we still got to go to 10. They're like, no, it'll kill me, right? No. But women face that when they have childbirth. And it's because of the sin that's in the world. You know, we weren't supposed to be in pain. We weren't supposed to have sickness. Everything was supposed to be perfect. Supposed to be, but we have a tendency to mess things up. So if we look at it in that aspect, do everything you can not to mess things up. Amen? Focus on that. People want to fight about different scriptures in the Bible. this is funny. We had a conversation about this other. People want to fight about whether it's pre-trib or post-trib or in the middle, and John says pan-trib. I'm like, I don't really even care. I just want to make sure I get to be the one to go. You know what I'm saying? You take me in the end. You take me in the middle. You take me. Just let me come, right? I just want to be up on a trip. That's what I'm more worried about. And I'm more worried about trying to get more people with me than to fight about whether or not it's going to happen in the middle or the end of the thing. How many of you know when it happens, it's going to be like boot camp for me. That's what I figure. I got to boot camp. They said, get off the bus. Go over there. I'm like, okay, yes, sir. You know, that's what I did. And I just listened to what they said, and I was there, and I knew what I had to do. And then I did it. Everything worked out, right? That's how I figure it's going to happen for me. I don't know about y'all, but that's what's going to happen to me. To the woman, I will surely multiply your pain and childbearing. In pain, you shall bring forth children. Again, pain wasn't supposed to be a part of it. If you look at most of the animals in the animal kingdom, they do not have near the trouble that women have in giving birth. You guys see? I mean, I know they groan and they do some different things. If you've ever seen a birth of an animal, like puppies or a goat or whatever, there is pain that goes on, but it is nothing like what happens to women. And then you look at it too, there has to be a whole team of people taking care of that baby when that baby comes out. Do you know that don't happen in the wild? Like they don't have a whole bunch of little wolf doctors coming around and a nurse to check on the little wolf and make sure he's okay? It doesn't happen that way. Why? It's part of the fall. It's part of what happened. It's part of the curse that came because of the fruit, because of being separated from the presence of God. In the presence, there's joy, fullness of joy, Scripture said. There's peace in His presence. How many of you know, how many of you struggle with having peace? How many struggle with having joy? Do you know what you need to do? Do what I said earlier, cut on some music, get in His presence. Get away from everything and just start focusing on Him. Get in His word. Like, well, I think it's weird. You know what? The more you do it, there's a lot of weird stuff that I've done in my life that now is normal to me because I've done it for so long, right? Like riding a bike. Riding a bike, man, I was horrible for a while. Now I can ride a bike okay. I mean, I'm getting a little heavy for one, but you know what I'm saying. It's just hard. It's easy now. I haven't been on a bike in a year. I can still get on a bike and do it like that. Why? Because I've done it so many times. You say, if it's awkward to pray, if it's awkward to read your word, if it's awkward to do those things, go ahead and do them anyway. Do them anyway, and it will soon become a familiarity. It'll soon be something that you look forward to, something that you want to do. Amen? The next thing that we see here, and this is where we see the beginning of the battle of the sexes in the Word of God. You guys know that's a thing? The battle, I'm going to read the next verse. Your desire shall be contrary to your husband, but he shall rule over you. Do you know that it was not supposed to be that a man would rule over a woman? It was supposed to be that they stood side by side and they were a helpmate. Do you know that's the design that God had? Y'all all got really quiet. All the ladies are mad and all the guys are wanting to say amen, but they don't want to elbow. I'm with you. Amen, brother, preach it. Oh, be quiet. No, it's not how it worked. And that's one of the reasons why marriage has such an issue and a problem today. Do you want to know why? Because we look at it as a 50-50 when it's not supposed to be a 50-50 marriage. It's supposed to be 100-100. I give 100% to you. You give 100% to me. We both have everything that we need. I give you my all. You give me your all. And we do it together. That is the design that God put forth. But did you know that in this covenant, in this thing right here, He says, woman, from now on, you'll desire to be contrary to your husband. You wonder why we can't figure out how, guys? You wonder why you can't figure out a woman's brain and how it works? Here's the scripture. Ladies, you understand why your husbands are so hard-headed and they just don't get it? There's the scripture. Your desire, he's like, ha-ha, now when I'm in trouble, I can just quote the scripture. No, Sean, it doesn't work that way, Sean. Sean, it doesn't work that way. It's a good idea, and I'd love to stand with that, but it's not going to help you. Don't bring it up. I'm just going to tell you. I'll think about it. But this is what ends up happening. Confusion comes. How many of you know God never is the author of confusion? Do you know what happens when someone's opinion is contrary to the other one's opinion? In the middle is chaos and confusion. It's bitterness and anger and frustration and strife. None of that was supposed to be a part of our lives. It's not. But it is because of the fall. Now, that does not mean that because it's there, we can walk in it and be, all right, husbands, I'm in charge now. I'm the most important one. You're going to listen to me, woman. That ain't going to work out too well. I'm just going to be honest. It's not going to work out too well. Do you know what you should strive to do? To do what God created us to do in the first place. Focus on other people. Take care of her more than I take care of myself. That's what should be my focus. You know, when you read in 1 Timothy, Paul throws women under the bus like hard. Y'all ready? I'm going to read it to you. But then I'm going to give you some good news at the end of the verse. Y'all ready? This is the scripture. Okay, now I'm going to say another controversial thing. Y'all ready? This is the scripture that people use that women should not teach in church. Okay? Don't be mad at me, women. Y'all see y'all like, oh, bother me like that already. Don't, easy. I said, this is the one that they use for that. But I'm going to say something that'll be controversial in a minute. And some people will get it. Some people won't get it. It'll be the rule of the thirds. Remember, some people will like it. A third of the people hate it. A third of people just don't even care. I don't know where you're going to fall, but hopefully it. 1 Timothy 2, 12 through 15. It says, I do not permit women to teach or to exercise authority over men. Rather, she is to remain quiet. For Adam was formed first and then Eve. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman was deceived and became the transgressor. So one of the things that I want you to understand, when you read about Paul, Paul differentiates between what God has said and what he has said. Go through his books. He'll say, I speak as a man. I say this, not God. Right? This is what I say. This is one of those places. He didn't say God said, do not let women teach. Y'all with me? Y'all looking at me like a dog with a new bowl right now. Y'all with me? He didn't say God said this. He said, I say this. He is writing this. Timothy is a letter to Timothy, who is a pastor. And this is what they call one of the pastoral epistles. It's instructions on how to lead the church. And how many of you know, there's a couple different ways to lead a church. You know, I lead a church different than Pastor Luke does across the street, right? I lead it different than Pastor Davey does down the road. I lead a church differently. How many of you know, there's not one right way to do it. But Paul says, this is what I do, and this is why I do it. Look it up in your word. Look it up in your word. So I got some people still with their head cocked. It's okay. It's okay. Then he says this. Yet she will be saved through childbearing if they continue in faith and love and holiness and self-control. Again, this goes back to Jesus being the one who's going to save the world. That's going to come from woman. You want me to explain something? I said something last week before, and it was one of those things. Remember, I've told you guys to go study certain things. One of the things that I said was that Adam created Seth, and so mankind after him was created after the image of Seth, right? Or after the image of Adam, right? Because Adam had sin. God had no sin. Do you know why we need to be born again into Christ? Christ is the second Adam. He's the Adam that never sinned. He's the Adam that did everything correctly. So when we are born again, we are born into God's nature at that moment and not the sinful nature, Adam's image. That's where this comes from, and that's where this verse says, yet she will be saved through childbearing. He's not talking about all women. But you know what? If you look, all the women in the line of Jesus, how many of you know there were women involved? Remember, for multiplication, you have to plant a seed. Not to get into too much biology, but you guys understand what I'm saying. For a child to come, plant the seed, watch it grow. That's what we do with trees and with everything that we plant. Amen? And that's what God put us on the earth for. We go back to it. That's one of the things that you see about women, painful toil. Then we get into the next one, and I'm going to go into Adam. What time is it? I got time. We get into the next one. The next thing that we see is death comes. Now remember, spiritual death, first death, Eve when she ate the apple, Adam second. The rest are born into it, right? death comes. And to Adam, he said, verse 17, because you have listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten of the tree which I commanded you, you shall not eat of. Cursed is the ground because of you. In pain you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread. I'm going to stop right there. It wasn't intended for us to have to work and be difficult for us to eat. It was given to us. The way God set it all up is that we just kind of looked after it and it took care of itself. We were there. There weren't weeds that you had to pull. There weren't thorns. Everything that he created was good. It wasn't until sin came into the world that bad things started happening. All throughout creation, not just to men and women. There weren't thorns and thistles. How many of you hate getting one of them sand spurs in your feet when you walk in the yard because it's a little too high and you ain't got no shoes on? Ah, that wasn't there before. That wasn't there before. Do you know what else happened? We're going to see it in just a minute. Animals didn't eat animals. Nothing died. Death wasn't supposed to be a part of anything. If you eat of the tree, you'll die. Do you know what? It's like I said last week, man. They eat of the tree, be like, look, I didn't die. The devil's like, look, you didn't die. Do you know what? From the moment, that moment on, they were closer to death than they'd ever been, because death wasn't even a thing before this. Wasn't supposed to be. Wasn't supposed to be. And then we see this. The first sacrifice in the scripture, number 8 for you to write down in your notes. The first sacrifice in the scripture. And the Lord God made Adam and for his wife garments of skins and clothed them. The first sacrifice of an animal to cover up a man and his shame and his sin was made at this moment in the garden. This is where the blood sacrifice comes from. An animal had to lose its life so that we could be covered. Right here. Again, this goes down to the lamb that was slain for you and for me. On the cross. Again, another picture of what Christ was going to do. Now I'm going to stop talking about Jesus because that's going to be the last week. I mean, I'm not going to stop talking about it all the way, but what the importance of it in this study, because that's what the last week is going to be. But what we see here is God saying, okay, I'm going to take something and I'm going to fix it. I'm going to fix the situation. There was no shame in the garden. There was no shame in what they did. There was no clothing. There was no all these. Please wear clothing. You say, I'm not saying don't wear clothing. Be like Eden. Don't please wear clothing. But it's one of those things. They didn't have to. And they didn't care. It wasn't until sin entered in their life that shame became a thing in their life. Ashamed of what they looked like. Ashamed of what they did. Ashamed of who they were. All those things. And all those things, because of the sin nature, it's passed down to us. I'm not going to ask you how many of you guys stayed an hour and a half in front of the mirror today to get your stuff ready, to get your face right. Come on in, right? Again, what my dad used to say about makeup, it's funny. His pastor used to say it. Back in the day in the Assembly of God, women weren't allowed to wear makeup or jewelry or earrings or all that kind of stuff. And Mac was my dad's pastor at the time. Do you know what he used to say? If the barn needs painting, paint it. That's what he said. You need to put something on to cover it up, cover it up. Ladies, don't get mad. It was just funny. It was funny. Look, man, sometimes I wish I could put makeup on and cover up some messed up spots or whatever. Doesn't work that way for guys. Well, some guys. Anyway, shame came. Different kind of church. Anyway, shame came because of it. And all kinds of issues came out of it. The consequence for the sin. And then the next thing that we see, number 9. I got two more things I'm going to tell you about. The next thing, we see the exile out of the garden. We are taken away from the good and the perfect. And put in the world that we have to work and toil. And have difficult childbirth for ladies. And have difficult issues. And have struggles with animals and the wild. And trying to go out into the wild and do things. Look, I hate ticks and chiggers now. I know that, y'all, after Friday, right? It's one of those things. I asked my daughter, I was like, hey, you want to come Friday? She's like, nope, got a tick last time. I ain't going this time. I'm like, okay, there you go. It's one of those things. Do you know what? We don't have control over the animals like we're supposed to, like we were designed to. But this is the last thing that happens. We're sent out into the world that was what we were not supposed to be a part of. Do you know what? That's another picture. That's a whole, another picture of salvation, of heaven, of hell. We were not made to go to that place, to hell. We were designed for heaven. We were designed for good and perfect. But because of the choice that they made, they were sent to the world. Because of, I love the way John said it, and I'm going to probably keep saying this over and over and over and giving him credit for it. If you want God on earth, you're going to get him in heaven. You don't want him on earth, you ain't going to get him in heaven. It's the way it works. What the scripture bears out, what the scripture says. Their choice, their decision exiled them from every good and perfect thing God had for them. Do you know what your sin does in your life? It takes you away from what God has for you. Separation from him. Verse 23, therefore the Lord sent him out of the Garden of Eden to work the ground from which he was taken. He drove out the man, and at the east of the Garden of Eden, he placed a cherubim and a flaming sword that turned every way to guard the way to the tree of life. Do you remember, some of y'all will remember, some of y'all weren't here, some of y'all won't remember. Last week, I read a portion of scripture, and I said I wasn't going to read it, but I went ahead and did it anyway, and I said it'll make sense later on. Remember when I read the scripture in between all of that that said where the Garden of Eden was, in between four rivers that ran out from it. Do you know we know where two of those rivers are today? But we still can't find a garden. You know, we know where those rivers are. They can find where other rivers meet with it, but we cannot find the Garden of Eden. Why? God destroyed it. No, he didn't. He placed an angel in front of it to keep man from getting to it. We'll never find it. We'll never find it. Doesn't mean that it's not there. It says it right here, verse 24. He put that in. And then the best thing about this section of scripture that we read, and I referenced it earlier, is that God made a promise to us that we would have victory over Satan. And he said it in such a small way that most people miss it. How many of you know there's so much in the Word of God that is said in such a small way that we don't even see it? How many of you saw before that animal, the skins given to them, was the first animal sacrifice in the scripture? Not everybody's seen that. Not everybody paid attention to it. But like, yep, you gave him some sin. Well, where did he get the skins? Like, the animal wasn't still in them. You know what I mean? It wasn't there. And it wasn't until that point there was issues. The first physical death that we see in the scripture, what's the first physical death we see in the scripture? The animal that was sacrificed to cover them. Most people say Cain and Abel. That's the first murder. But the first death, physical death in the scripture, was that animal. A lot of people don't see it. There's so much in the Word of God that we don't see. And this is what happens, the promise of victory over Satan. It says, I will put enmity, verse 15, I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. Victory over Satan. That's the first place that we see it in Scripture. Do you know all throughout the Old Testament, we see examples of what Christ is going to do? We see a foreshadowing, is what they call it, of Christ and of what God has intended and what God has made. Through all of the stories in the Scripture, we can see it. We can see it. We can see it. We can see it. We can see. How many stories in the Scripture does man do something stupid? God does something to fix it. Jesus works it out. When we see what he's done for us. People do something stupid. God changes his covenant. You know, God had to put this covenant into effect because we messed up the first one. Do you know, as we go on down the lines, a lot of the covenants that he has to do is because we've been dumb and messed up the one before it. All the way through the word. Do you know what that shows us? That God is a very, very patient and loving God. When we get to next week, the Noahic Covenant, the word is restraint. Restraint. And everybody's like, what does that mean? I'm going to tell you next week. Some of you already know. Some of you don't know. Restraint. I'm going to share with you what it is. So don't forget to come back next week. That's your commercial for next week. How many of you are intrigued now and want to come back next week? Okay, three of you. All right, let's go. All four of us will be here next week going over it. No, it's going to be good. But listen, this is what I want you to do. I hope again today that I inspired you to go home and to take some of these things and to look them up in Scripture. Because that's what this time is supposed to be for. Again, man, I feel like God showed that to me that man, don't give answers, give questions. I want them to get in the Word. I want them to research. I want them to study. I want them to show themselves approved. That's the purpose in the Word of God. And then Sunday, us coming together. Not just that we get to fellowship, and that is a super important part. Don't get me wrong. Us getting connected is super important. Do you know what? Worship, super important. Super important to put everything aside and to get in God's presence and to focus solely on Him. Do you know what? The Word coming, super important. Why is it important? Because I preach it. No, that's not why. Most people that preach think preaching is the Word of God, the most important thing in the Bible. You know what? The song, worship directors, man, worship, most important time of service, right? Do you know why? Because that's what they're called to do, and for them, should be the most important part because they should put the most focus on it. But just because it's the most important to me doesn't mean it's the most important to Aaron or to Christy or to Mike, right? We all have different parts to play, and a different thing that is the most important part for us in this place. That's the body working together, amen? So this week, I want you to get into your Word. I mean, I guess you could go ahead and look at Noah, or you could just wait. But go over what we talked about today. Look at the different things. Look in your life and see how these things, these issues, these things that came about affect our lives. The whole purpose behind the Adamic covenant is for redemption. Remember, that was the key word, redemption. And all of the things that we just read, the most important part is God made a way so that we could come back to Him, so that we could see Him. And then we're going to talk about it in the last week. The last week. And again, this is one of those unilateral, unconditional covenants. He said, I am doing this for you. Notice he didn't tell Adam he had to do anything in that section. He told him what was going to happen because of it, the consequence. He didn't tell Eve she had to do something. He told the consequence of what happened. Serpent, same thing, consequence of what happens. This was one of those unconditional, unilateral covenants that God said, I will do this regardless of what you do. There are so many different things. But remember, there are things that we are supposed to do as Christ followers. There are things that we are supposed to do as His children that we need to be doing and not neglect. Amen? Remember that. Next week, we're going to come back together. Hope you guys, hope it spoke to you. Hope you get something. And again, if you need anything, give me a call. Give me a text. You guys don't have my number. You can get it from me online. You guys can put it in you can send it on the website. There's a comp card. I don't mention this often, and I should. On our website, there's a connection card that you can go on. If you have questions, if you want us to know about something, or you want to be a part of something, or you want us to pray for something, you are welcome to go on there. It doesn't get used very often. I get all kinds of stuff about business, and the prayer request is for me to join their CBD oil club and for my website. And so I get all those, like, all the time. I told Aaron, I was like, man, I don't get any things off there. He's like, we do. I mean, I can open it up broader so you get all kind of stuff, but I was trying to just leave it for the stuff on the page. And I remember that. I'm like, nah, man, just give it. That way I know it's working. Dude, He's like, dude, you know you got 50 emails on your little square thing here. You need to take care of that, right? Don't tell him about the other one, Aaron. Don't tell him about my personal account, like 11,572. Anyway, unread emails. But get in your Word. Ask questions. Find out. That's how we learn. Amen? Bow your heads. Dear Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you for today, your love, grace, and mercy. We thank you for the people that you've put next to us in the seats and around us, Father God. I ask that you'd help us reach out to those who weren't here today that we know, not to belittle them or say why you weren't there, but just to tell them that we love them and that we miss them, Father God. I ask that you would help us get to know each other and you so much better. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen, amen. We'll see you guys next week. Or tonight at the Bible study, or Wednesday at the Bible study, get a part of stuff. Amen.